You know, Jesus had a proper value system. Judas Iscariot was stealing his money all the time. It didn't disturb him. It's okay. If he steals, what can I do? I'm not going to kick up a row over that and fight with him. I hope he'll change. But Jesus lived, you know, you remember in the Gethsemane how he prayed, "Oh Father, don't let me lose that fellowship with you. Don't let me lose my fellowship with you on the cross. Can you take away this cup from me?" That's what disturbed him. The possibility that for 3 hours on the cross, fellowship with the Father would be broken. It disturbed him so much that he prayed and prayed and prayed for 1 hour in Gethsemane, and he didn't even pray for 2 seconds when Judas Iscariot was stealing his money. That's value system. As is the earthy, so are the earthy. As is the heavenly, so are the heavenly. And as we bore the image of the earthy, we are to bear the image of the heavenly. Why haven't we pursued this? Because it has not been a major in our life. We majored on minors. Coming to meetings, good. Coming to meetings is much lower down my value scale than becoming like Christ. What if I'm locked up in a jail for preaching the gospel? And I'm in jail like in communist countries, people were in jail for years. I can't come to the meetings and I sit there for 10 years. Am I going to miss out on God's plan for my life? Impossible. Because going for meetings is good. But if I don't have the opportunity for it, that's okay. I can still be like Christ. That doesn't stop. The reason why some people never lose the anointing and never lose the passion is because it's a top priority in their life. The reason why some people get victory over sin in their life and their home life becomes smooth and peaceful is because it's a priority in their life. The reason why some people's homes disintegrate, even Christian homes, is because their home life is not a priority. Other things are priority. Other things which are not a priority in Scripture. Making money, getting on in the world. That's good, provided it's lower down on the scale. Jesus was a carpenter for at least 12 years. He worked hard, but he didn't work hard to become the richest carpenter in Nazareth. He worked hard to support his family. And his priority was not getting a name in Nazareth as a great carpenter shop. No. His priority was fellowship with the Father and blessing poor people and helping widows and things like that. And you spend your life doing that, you're not going to be the richest carpenter in Nazareth. No. So it's all a question of priority. And you get your priorities right, and I guarantee, my brother, sister, you will find more change in the next 1 year than you have seen in your entire Christian life till now. It's all a question of priorities. Is your destination and God's destination for you the same? Or have you got some other destination? What is your primary aim in life? The heavenly. You know, I thought about that when we were praising the Lord and that verse we read from Psalm 8. I want you to turn to Matthew 21 where that same verse is quoted. It says here that Jesus rode on a donkey and entered Jerusalem and came into the temple in Matthew 21. And as Jesus entered the temple, it says here, verse 14, the blind and the lame came to him and he healed them. And then the chief priests, listen to this. Now here you see the contrast between religious earthy people and a spiritual heavenly man. Sometimes we confuse a religious earthy person with a spiritual heavenly man. We don't confuse worldly earthy people with a spiritual heavenly man. That we can distinguish quite easily. Oh, that's a worldly person, this is a heavenly person. But sometimes many of us can confuse being religious with being spiritual. Now here the religious people, the chief priests and the scribes, the most religious people in Israel, they saw the wonderful things that he had done, and then they saw the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They became angry. He said, children shouldn't be yelling in the temple like that. Nobody should be yelling in the temple like that. There must be dignity and decorum in the temple like a funeral service, right? And Jesus had quite a different opinion about this. They said to him, don't you hear what these fellows are doing? Ruining the decorum of the temple. And Jesus said to them, haven't you read what it says in Psalm 8? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, thou hast prepared praise for thyself. And he said in another gospel, it says, if these people stop praising me, the stones will start praising me. Now, why did Jesus get so excited when he saw all those people praising God? Because I'll tell you why. Because he came from heaven. And heaven is full of people yelling the praises of God with such a loud voice, it says it's like thunders. We're not even 1% of that. He came from heaven where people not just praised God, but praised God with such joy and radiance in their faces. And then he came to earth, and for 33 years he saw these long-faced, glum, sour-looking people complaining, murmuring, but would come religiously to the temple and talk about God. And then he saw these children excited and praised. Hey, he says, that reminds me of heaven. And he got so excited. While these serious, long-faced, long-bearded, I mean, the face is long enough, but they had a beard as well. looking at these children. And Jesus took the side of the children. I like that. Jesus took the side of the most unlikely people. He took the side of a woman caught in adultery against all the self-righteous Pharisees. He took the side of the children against all these so-called religious leaders. He took the side of a thief on the cross. He was always taking the side of the underdog, the person who was poor. He went and put his arms around lepers, and boy, I want to bear the image of the heavenly in my life. I'm sick and tired of this false sense of dignity and decorum that the children of Adam have taught me. I want to change my value system. I want to think like Jesus. And if it offends people, well, it offends people. Jesus spent his life offending people. He didn't start out his life saying, oh, I must tread very carefully, not offend anybody. You know, once we read in Matthew 15 that the disciples came to Jesus once and said, do you know that what you just said offended the Pharisees? He said, leave them alone. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Why are you worried about them? They got offended, they got offended. That's it. Let's seek to please our Father. I mean, we don't go out of our way to offend people. But if in the process of serving God, praising Him, and becoming like Christ, and becoming more heavenly, we offend a lot of religious people, so be it. Let them be offended until they change and become heavenly themselves. Then they won't be offended. We're not here to argue with anybody. But when we see that Jesus was this way, that's the way I want to be. Because He is the only one who came to earth and showed us what heaven was like. We've got all these crazy ideas of what a spiritual man should be like. And they're all wrong. Jesus is the perfect example of what it means to be spiritual. I say, I want to be like Him. I want to be tender towards the leper. I want to be forgiving towards the woman caught in adultery. I want to be forgiving to the people who crucify me and assume that they don't know the evil of what they are doing, like Jesus was. At the same time, I want to take a whip and chase out of the church those who make money in the name of religion. That's what Jesus did. I want to be like that. Of course, that'll make you unpopular. As long as you're just comforting the widows and putting your arm around the leper and washing their feet, nobody will be disturbed. But once you begin to shake their traditions, a lot of people get disturbed. But I say we're going to continue to do that. And if you continue doing that, they may finally crucify you like they crucified Jesus. They crucified some of the apostles too. Okay, fine. It's the best way to leave the earth. Can you tell me a better way to leave this earth than by being crucified? Try and think of that. How do you want to die? In an air-conditioned hospital room with drips and all that type of stuff, and every fellow's coming there and saying prayers for you, and then a grand funeral with a very expensive casket and all types of people saying things about you which were never true in your life. And you go. I don't want to go like that. I want to go as a martyr for Jesus Christ. It's the best way to go from this earth. I'm not saying I'll get that privilege. I think it's a tremendous honor to be a martyr for Christ. Not everybody gets that honor. But I say, Lord, if you give it to me, I'll take it. I hope you'll say that too. That's the best way to go. Like Jesus. Can you imagine a better way to die than the way Jesus died? You know, they were going to crucify Peter, saying, you talk about you're this crucified master. Okay, we'll crucify you. And he said, I have one request. Please crucify me upside down, because I'm not worthy to be crucified straight like Jesus. So they put him upside down, crucified him upside down. Can you imagine the reward these people are going to have in heaven? They had a completely different value system. The things of earth, even life on earth, was not important. To glorify God, to accomplish God's purpose before we leave this earth, not just to get a great name and belong to a good church or make a lot of money or even get a reputation as one who has served the Lord or done so many things. Who cares for these things? Many who are first will be last when Jesus comes again. We've got to change our value system. We've got to learn to praise God like the angels in heaven praise God. I'm trying to praise God like the angels in heaven praise God, because I want to bear the image of the heavenly. I want to change my attitude to money, to the heavenly attitude. You know, one of the clearest differences in earth and heaven is in where they place the gold. Where do you find people place gold on earth? Usually on people's heads, or on their neck, or hand, or something like that. Do you know where they place gold in heaven? How many of you know there's gold in heaven? There's gold in heaven. Do you know where the gold is found? On the streets, under our feet. And do you know a heavenly man is a man who's learned to put gold under his feet even now? Is gold under your feet? Then you're ready for heaven. If it's still on top of your head, brother, you better hurry up and push it down. Put it under your feet. Don't let it just come halfway down to your fingers or something. All the way down to your feet. Not even on your toes. Under your feet. That's the place for gold. I want to be ready for heaven. You know what I mean? That it doesn't rule me. It's a very useful servant, but a terrible master. I want to have the same attitude to that Jesus had.